become prepping 2.0.
A vital step in prepping you might be avoiding.
You need to vacuum seal. A lot of you have never vacuum sealed. You may not even know what it is. And so you need to know why you need to do it. It's inexpensive and easy to do. And then we'll go through some of the how-to stuff.
When disaster strikes, will you be prepared? This is Prepping 2.0 with authors and prepping experts, Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Online at prepping2-0.com.
Get ready. Prepping 2.0 coming in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everyone. This is Shelby Gallagher over here at Prepping 2.0. And I want to introduce to you my co-host here on Prepping 2.0, my co-host on the show as well as co-host in life, Glenn Tate.
Hello. You know what? I mean, you always look great. You sound great. And you know why you sound great?
Because we have our new studio.
Yes, this is the real studio, for reals, with a Z.
Studio 2.0.
Exactly. Of course, those of you who've been following us, we have so many new listeners every week. Thank you very much, by the way, new listeners, that we have to sometimes bring people up to speed. We rented a studio from a crazy person, and the crazy person wouldn't let us connect to the internet, because why would you need the internet to, I don't know, do a radio / podcast?
Well, and have an online business. That
have an online business.
Run a business. I mean, really.
So we had to close down that tenancy. It's nice to be a lawyer, by the way. And we then got a second studio and have spent 2 months trying to get internet. Shelby did an amazing job soundproofing this place. This is amazing, folks. We can tell the difference. We hope you can, because that's why we do it. That's why we do it.
And huge thanks to our producer, who has kind of consulted with us and helped us along the way and gave us some great advice on how to make this place really sound tight so we don't have all the echoey things and all the little sounds. I will say this. If you hear a cough in the background, for those of you who've listened to past shows, Joel is in the other room doing school.
Yeah.
And we're also kind of right up against a busy street. So if somebody decides to have a car accident outside the window or, you know, go by with a big boom and whatever.
It'll be muffled.
It'll be muffled. But there's still going to be some backgrounds. But I just hope your listening quality is just 1,000 times better.
We've worked very hard on this. Shelby's worked very hard on this. Well, everybody, this is episode 102. And this topic is vacuum sealing, why you should do it, and how to do it, plus mailbag. We'll be answering Patreon's mailbag questions in the after show. But the main topic today is vacuum sealing. We'll explain why we are covering this topic a little bit later. But Shelby, what is one of the things we do every show?
We talk about the top 100 things that will go quickest in a collapse. I encourage people to go to our website at prepping2-0.com. This list is in the lower right-hand corner. I always like to give an homage to those who survived the Bosnian collapse and put this list together. That collapse was, upwards of 30 years ago. Still very relevant today. And I joke, but it's true, that list is now a shopping list for today as we go into our slow collapse right now.
Tried and true stuff on that list.
Oh, my gosh. As long as we've been doing it, it's weird as we've gone through it. When at first it's like, oh, that seems like a good idea.
Oh, that might be a good idea in 5 years. And then it was that they're out of those now.
Okay, yeah, go buy that now. So what you need to go buy, this is Glenn Tate's moment of glory right here. We're on number 83, just so you know. So you can go look at the list. You can go to our website and click over to the list. And by the way, there are some things that have hyperlinks there. So you can go shopping. Everybody, Glenn's going to geek out. Go, Glenn. What's number 83?
Ham radios, CB radios, walkie-talkies. That's right. Little handheld radios, not like big, expensive rigs, blah, blah, blah. Little FRS things. I call them Disneyland radios because they're the little radios that are $30. They come in a blister pack.
Oh, you can get them at Walmart.
Get them at Walmart or any like outdoor sporting goods section. And I say they're Disneyland radios because when you take the kids to Disneyland, you know, they have like a quarter mile range and stuff. All the details on radios are elsewhere, including in the hopefully someday forthcoming, still in the Apple development process, PAM Radio app, PAM Radio, PAM-radio.com. You can sign up for the email and we'll send you the notification of when the app is done. It's taken a year longer than we thought. Apple, by the way, to have an app up on the iTunes store. It's an unbelievable process to get them to approve an app, so it's still in waiting. But anyway, the point with all this is that you're going to be needing to talk to people short range. Long range is great too, but that's covered with other radios other than what we're talking about here. You're going to be needing to talk to people somewhat covertly. Phone lines may be down. Cell phones will probably be down. Electricity may be unavailable. And there could be bad guys, whether they're motorcycle gangs or a tyrannical government listening, or Antifa listening. And so you need to have those sorts of things to just coordinate movements and to do a million other things. And they will become very, very valuable. And this isn't like, you know, the stock market show where it's like, hey, this would be worth a lot of money, buy them now. By valuable, we mean hard to get. And so get them now. I implore everyone listening to go onto Amazon Prime right now and order a couple. You always buy radios in pairs, obviously. Baofeng. UV5R or similar radios. They're about $25 a piece. You can get a 10 pack of these radios, super easy to program for simple uses. They're perfect for this use that we're talking about here. Yeah, 20-ish bucks a piece. And the second everything kicks off, those things are going to be gone. So get them now. I don't have a ham radio license. Worry about that later. Get some very simple radios, something like that, invaluable for what's coming up.
Oh, goodness, yes. And so going on to kind of the next thing we always like to talk about every week, you can check out our website again. Everything Prepping 2.0 is at prepping2-0.com. If you click on the friends and affiliates links for coupon for just our friends and affiliates, as well as coupon codes for all of our sponsors. I will say this, we're going to talk about our sponsors because we love them and we appreciate them. One last just quick mention, there's a new coupon code with Pretty Loaded.
Yes.
With their online...
Is Pretty Loaded a drinking game?
Nope. It's it's Pretty Loaded. It started out as a women's self-defense situational awareness training. It's all online. And it's definitely expanded from there. Beth Warford is the CEO over there. They do a lot of corporate training, how to train employees to be mindful and situational awareness at workplaces and parking garages and places where you find yourself at work. But they've offered a 10% off coupon for Prepping 2.0ers. So encourage you to do that, to go check them out. But you have some more people to mention, Glenn.
We sure do. We have EMP Shield. They make a product that whatever you wire it into will be protected from an EMP pulse, whether that's a generator or vehicle, whatever. Numanna, N-U-M-A-N-N-A. They make freeze-dried food, bulk food. I mean, these are not small packages. This isn't backpacking food. Great for layering your food. You're going to hear a lot about layering foods talk about vacuum sealing. Only we could turn vacuum sealing into, can I be candid? Only we could turn vacuum sealing into an hour and a half of actually interesting stuff to listen to.
Well,
but we're going to do that.
We do it for hours at a time.
We do it for hours at a time, and we're interesting.
Yes.
Yes. We also have Backwoods Home as a sponsor. Great quarterly magazine, really a reference piece. And then Minuteman, plural, coffee. They have the I Miss America blend that keeps Shelby jacked up and highly productive.
Thank you.
For 20-ish hours a day.
They sponsor us, and I very much appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But seriously, I just love the coffee.
It's really, really good. Well, another way to support us, and the way that this show gets done, and of all times to make this point, it would be when we're sitting in a new studio. These studios do not grow on trees. It costs a lot of money. We have a very, very stout internet connection here that was not cheap. How do we do this stuff and make the show better? Because Patreons support us. So it's how we keep the show on the air. It starts at $2 a month. It helps us. But here's the thing. It's not just helping us because you're nice. You probably are nice if you're listening. Patreons, though, get exclusive access to the after show, and that's after the regular part of the show that's free. And Patreons can ask us and our guests questions, and they get lots of free merchandise twice a year. Go onto the website and find out about that. And the way to do that is to go to prepping2-0.com and click the Patreon logo to join. And now,
lurkers
come out of the shadows. Yes, that's right, lurkers. We know you're out there. What's a lurker? A lurker is somebody that listens to the regular show, whether it's on the radio or on a podcast. They might listen by YouTube or iTunes or a bunch of other ways. and they listen to the regular show and they go, wow, I bet that after show is pretty awesome, but I'm just going to lurk and never find out the golden goodness behind the golden, wonderful paradise doors.
The premium content
of the after show. So lurkers, come out of the shadows. You're going to like it. You're going to love the after show. You're going to like the community on the Patreon boards. It's very, very cool. So
I just want to give a huge shout out to those who planned and executed the Inland Preparedness Expo. Inland Panhandle Preparedness Expo. Inland.
It changed names. It's the Panhandle Preparedness Expo in Sandpoint, Idaho.
Yep. And we were just there. We had a great time.
Geez.
We saw many of you. We got to hug many of you because it was a no mask environment, which was awesome. It was like a family reunion.
Prepping Woodstock.
Yes. So just want to give a shout out to them. Thank you to the organizers and the executors of such a great event for having the bravery to do it, because mm-hmm. they chose to have that event with, I'm sure, some pressure to not because mm-hmm. of all the COVID scare or whatever. I sit here and I watch how there's this dueling pressure to keep a mask on and stay shut down, and then this other pressure to open up and to let those go because COVID it's run its cycle, kind of a thing. And I just give them a huge kudos to letting that happen. And it was needed. All of us kind of mm-hmm. needed to connect. So thank you to them.
Rookie mistakes in prepping.
Mm-hmm. Rookie mistakes.
So this might be every couple shows, whenever we feel like, whenever we think of something good, we're just going to sort of highlight this as rookie mistakes that are out there, because Shelby and I have been doing this for 10 years. We've made a lot of mistakes.
Oh, my gosh.
And people out there might hear this and say, oh, yeah, I did that too. So anyway, we're always trying to get information out, help people, keep them motivated, keep them going with this. So, Shelby, what is our inaugural rookie mistake?
This one this week is expiration dates and to live and die by them. I have talked to so many people who are like, oh my gosh, that box of cookies that you have on the counter there, they expired a year ago. They're not opened. In other words, they're still in their plastic wrap. They're fine. They're fine.
You know, and you'll notice, it's so true. There's so many myths out there, you know, and when I mean myths, what I mean is this: the general population, the regular people who aren't listening right now because they don't really think that there's a reason to prepare, because what could possibly go wrong? Have you lived through 2020?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So here's another. Let me jump over to expiration dates because I wanted mm-hmm. to finish this story. Here's another one. I brought a cake mix to work back when we could like bring a mm-hmm. cake mix to work.
Yeah.
It was probably a year ago. Oh, Shelby, we can't use that. It expired like a couple years ago. I'm like, it's a cake mix with 10,000 preservatives in it. It's fine. They're like, are you sure? Are you sure? I made it.
We're all gonna die.
It was fine. Why? Because one, it was packaged in its original packaging and kept in a temperature controlled place, my mm-hmm. home. And two, it's got 10,000 preservatives. It was fine. Now, if we had tasted and there had been a weird, you know, something weird color or something like that, I wouldn't have done it. But expiration dates are a guideline. Here's another example. Recently on a couple of prepping forums, I've seen people, oh my gosh, I just found some soup cans of soup.
Yeah, so they're like in metal cans.
Primo packaging that expired last spring. Are they okay? I just want to pound my head on. Yes, they are fine. Here's your benchmark. Here's your line in the sand. And I think about John Jacob Schmidt, who we've had on the show before, referencing folks during the Bosnian collapse in the 90s fighting over canned Spam dated in the early 60s. They're fighting over mm-hmm. because they are so hungry and so desperate, and they don't care about expiration dates, fighting over cans of 30-year-old Spam, and they are happy and thankful for it. If you're hungry, I mean, I that's why I kind of laugh. I'm like, we're gonna have our head just in a frozen place because it's something expired 6 months ago. I can't. Expiration dates are simply guidelines. Now, should you take them somewhat seriously? Yeah, don't hand me cheese that expired a year ago. I'm not going to do fresh foods. We're talking about packaged, preserved with heavy-duty preservatives. Those are guidelines. Please, that's a rookie mistake. We've eaten canned fruits that was in a number 10
nine
can.
9 years old.
9 years old.
9 year old. Canned stuff. And here's the thing, expiration dates, and you use that term, and I get it, and I'm not being critical. That comes from the past when you would look on them and it would say EXP for expired and it would have a date. Well, that's when stuff maybe because it was packaged differently, don't care, to whatever, maybe it actually did quote expire. That's the past. Now you will notice that with very few exceptions.
Best if used by.
Yes, it is best if used by a particular date, which is different than expiration. So anyway, we've beaten that to death. I will close on this topic by saying the following. There was a ship that went aground in some river in Montana, and there were some canned foods from the 1850s or something that went to the bottom, and they were in the mud, blah, 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 blah. They opened them up 92 years later. There was no bacteria inside of those cans. Now, they didn't taste really good because guess what? It's 92 years and stuff falls apart.
It deteriorates.
But it is perfectly good as far as not killing you. Years and years down the road, we ate 9-year-old mandarin orange slices, and we had, in a different thing, we had pancake mix that was 8 years past the expiration date that we fed to the team and said, how does that taste? They're like, this is good. And we're like, haha, it was 8-year-old past the expiration date. And why did we do that to our friends? So we could tell a story on our show.
So we could prove this point that expiration.
No, so we could tell a story on our show.
These are guidelines.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Atrocious. Awful. Deficient. Substandard. Inadequate. Just plain bad prepping idea of the week.
And we actually have two this week because we came up with two. The first is, I hear some people say every once in a while, especially as a really scary event is coming up, like Election Day 2020, they say, well, you know what I'm going to do? Here's my prepping plan. I'm just going to run up my credit cards and buy a bunch of stuff. Doesn't matter what the cost is, because after this big event, and that I guess would be the Election Day fiasco that's coming, it's not like the credit card companies can collect anyway, right? So I'm just going to run up my credit cards and hope that this bad thing happens so I don't have to pay back my credit cards. Terrible idea.
Ask people who did that for Y2K. How'd that work out for them? Because
exactly. People
did that during Y2K.
Exactly. So that is a terrible idea, you guys. You can do better. Okay, if
yes.
You're listening to this show, you've already got enough stuff going on well. You're already squared away enough to come up with a better plan than that. What if the event doesn't happen and you do have to pay it back? There are a bunch of other things. By the way, collapses often are partial and roll on for quite a while. It's very seldom that like there's a doomsday thing like an asteroid going to hit the Earth. Anyway, so Shelby, what is the second terrible prepping idea of the week?
Ketchup packets. What? What is this talking about? Glenn and I were on an unnamed show, a radio show.
And seriously, you guys have never heard of it, so don't think it's one
in
you have.
Western Washington, gosh, a year and a half ago. And I'm on the show, and we were live. We're on the phone. He's on a phone. I'm on a phone. And I'm just sitting there rubbing my forehead as the host. We were talking about prepping, and he's like,
totally unprepared host. You could tell he was just like seat of the pants thing.
And he's like, he thought he had the greatest bomb diggity idea.
Yep.
Because his idea of what he's like, I have this great idea. When you go to like Burger King or McDonald's or some, or fast food, grab the ketchup packets, because those are like a serving of vegetables and you could just put those away in like your bug out bag and you can have a vegetable in a little tiny pack.
And it's free.
And I'm just sitting there rubbing my forehead going,
that's your plan?
That's
ketchup packets from Burger King. That's your plan.
That's prepping point zero.
That's negative point something.
If I'm not going to depend on my survivability and my ability to get calories and sustenance on a ketchup pack from a fast food joint, I just think that's a terrible idea. And we believe in one, eating things that are better for you than ketchup, multi-level sorts of foods. Oh my gosh.
You can do better than ketchup
goodness.
Packets. Dear listener, you can do better than
yes,
that.
Yes, you can.
Shelby, what's our last item before we get into our topic?
And I appreciate all of you who are doing this, how to grow the Prepping 2.0 community, because it has become a community. We have gotten to know so many of you in person at recent events is a good example. Online, through KHNC, our weekly Friday show, all kinds of ways. And I just encourage you, if you enjoy Prepping 2.0, in whatever way you consume it, whether it be through iTunes, whether it be through YouTube. One, like it. Hit the little, you know, the little heart, the little thumbs up, the little five star, whatever you need to do to like it. And then share it. Share it to others that you think would benefit from it. And we know so many of you are. And we just ask you to keep doing that. That just helps us grow. It helps us grow in influence. It helps us. And one of my goals in this next coming year is to get on a few more radio stations.
Yeah, we love radio stations.
Yeah.
We love you guys.
So whatever. So like, for example, if you listen to us on a radio station, tell the radio stations if you know of one in your area, let them know, hey, I listened to this show and I like it. You should think about having them. Love it.
So there you go. So we have a couple minutes before the first break, but don't worry. You're going to hear everything you need to hear about vacuum sealing. But I just wanted to set the table about this, and then we'll pick it up on the other side of the break. Here is the table being set. We're going to talk about why you need to vacuum seal. A lot of you listening have never vacuum sealed. You may not even know what it is. And so you need to know why you need to do it. And then you need to know that it's inexpensive and easy to do. And then we'll go through some of the how-to stuff. But before we go into the how-to stuff, Shelby and I wanted to make the point. Today is an overview. It is mm-hmm. only an overview. We're not going to give you all the details for a variety of reasons. Number one, you can learn the details on yourself and a lot of this is trial and error. So we could say a bunch of stuff and you'll just figure it out on yourself anyway. Details of this are visual. Like there are YouTube channels that you should look at because we can't tell you over the radio or a podcast, you know, exactly how to do this. The other great thing, as far as us not having to provide details, is that the Food Saver website is great. Food Saver is a brand, by far the leading brand, big time by far, of food vacuum sealers. And their website tells you absolutely everything you need to know.
It's got the videos and
it's
the how-tos.
It's got recipes
yes.
and everything else.
And it has expiration dates and all of that.
Oh, yeah. It's foodsaver.com. So get the details there. And then you're saying, well, this Food Saver thing, what are these guys like sponsors? What are they giving you money? Nope. And here's the thing. We don't even know of any other brands of food vacuum sealers. If they exist, great. We just don't know of them. And so we're going to talk about Food Saver, but it doesn't matter. Everything we're talking about applies to every other vacuum sealer for food. And so that's what we're going to be covering. And we're going to talk about how to vacuum seal, how to plan it, how to actually do it. And then a bunch of tips and things that we've learned that are going to save you guys time and money and food. You won't be wasting food by, you know, you open it up 3 years from now and, oh, my goodness, the seals didn't work. And now my food is no good. See, we're going to prevent those kind of surprises coming to you because we've done this for 10 years. We recently had the team, the real live team from the 299 Days book series, out to our bunker compound to do some food sealing. So this is all fresh on our mind. And finally, Shelby, in about 10 or 15 seconds, tell folks why we picked this topic today.
We picked this topic because I recently did a couple of posts on food saving, and I kept getting the same questions over and over and over again. How long does it last? Where do you get them? What kind do you use? And I'm like, this is a show. I spent all day answering questions. I'm like, let's just do a full show on
this. It's important to people, so let's answer their questions.
So don't go away. We're going to start right there at the very beginning and how to do this and give you kind of a really good overview on vacuum sealing. Don't go away.
More Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher is coming right up. Hear all our previous shows free online at prepping2-0.com.
PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Looking to meet other like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own prepper group? Already have a group? Join PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet has gathered the biggest names in the industry to help unite preppers everywhere. Join John Jacob Schmidt, Scott Hunt, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, Glenn Tate, Shelby Gallagher, Charlie Hogwood, Samuel Culper, Survivor Jane, Rick Austin, Franklin Horton, Ryan Mitchell, and Brian Duff. Our team is united. Check us out at PrepperNet. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. PrepperNet.com.
Shelby Gallagher here. We found that you need to layer your food preps.
Yeah, this is Glenn Tate here. A lot of times the hardest part of layering is the long-term foods. We love New Mana Foods, which have a 25-year shelf life and are non-GMO, Also, organic meals are available.
New Manna comes in family-style portions and in bulk. This is not backpacking food. It's family meals that last for at least 25 years, the perfect freeze-dried part of your food layering.
You can get a sample of New Manna meals for $19.95 and see for yourself. You will be amazed.
Prepping 2.0 listeners get a 10% discount by entering the code PREP.
Go to newmanna.com or click the link on the Prepping 2.0 website.
Give it a try. Newmanna.com. That is N-U-M-A-N-N-A.com.
When the grid goes down, darkness will descend fast. Used to be there was nothing you could do about an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, or CME, coronal mass ejection. Now you can protect your electronics, protect your family, thanks to EMP Shield. EMP Shield invented a simple-to-install device that prevents whatever's connected to it from frying in an EMP or CME, and it costs just a few $100. EMP Shield has been tested by independent laboratories and passed muster with the government, which has ordered lots of them. Google EMP Shield and see for yourself. And save some money. Get a $50 discount per device. Go to prepping2-0.com. Click on the Friends and Affiliates page, then click on the EMP Shield logo. At checkout, use coupon code PREPPING2.0. It's all one word. Now, more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Shelby Gallagher over at Prepping 2.0 with my co-host, Glenn Tate, and we're going to just start right in. Yeah. Go, Glenn.
We have an outline, of course, because we're organized, because we're not going to waste your time. So we talked about the overview, how it's not going to be very detailed, and now we're going to talk about...
Now we're going to go into the details.
The details. That's right. Plan it out. You have to have a plan for this, because if you do, it's going to go way better. We're not planners for the sake of planning. We don't get any joy out of planning things and coming up with detailed stuff. It's just that we save time and money doing it. So you have to plan this out. Now, we see two categories when it comes to planning out. There are two, I don't know, final products, if you will, for vacuum sealing. One is your pantry, and that's the stuff you use, you know, throughout the year. It's not a long-term prep. It might be a couple months. Some people have, you know, an actual pantry. Some people have other stuff. There's stuff you can vacuum seal that you might end up using 6 months from now. It's not all long-term food preps. And then there are, of course, long-term food preps. And Shelby, when we say long-term, let's jump straight into the question of how long stuff lasts. How long does stuff last that's vacuum sealed?
You know, the Food Saver website will be conservative. We've trialed and tested.
Trialed? It's a word now.
It is. We do it every show.
We do. We come up with at least one new word.
We've trialed. We've opened up food preps that is specifically that you put away from 8 years ago, and they have been fine. And those are things like oatmeal, a cocoa mix, cereal, rice, beans.
We'll get into some of this.
We'll get into some of this. So they will last, I would say, as a general rule, kept in good condition. You're not going to like vacuum seal something and then put it in 100 degree temperature or out in your backyard in the weather or any, you know, it's going to be inside of a somewhat temperature controlled environment.
And light prohibitive thing. We're big fans of the Costco 27-gallon black tubs with the yellow lids that are
cheap.
Everywhere. They're also at Home Depot, by the way.
Yep. So if you keep them out of light and in a decent temperature range, they're going to last you. I'm going to say roughly 5 to 8 years. And that's the key. And that's one of the things we learned way back in a previous episode when we had Casey on from Harvest Right. Light and air is what degrades food. That's why things that you can in jars degrades within two
glass
or three
jars.
Glass jars that are clear because they degrade because of the light. So that's one thing with vacuum seal bags from Food Saver, whatever brand. It will allow light in. So you need to then put it into a dark environment. So
yeah, and to, excuse me,
goodness.
How terribly rude of me. We're talking about clear plastic Food Saver bags. A little bit more detail on that later. And that's why... She says light could come in. If you left this sitting on your porch in the sunlight, okay, nobody's going to do that. And so, well, we'll get into that with the Mylar bag debate. So, yes, and when we say plan it out, there are foods that are particularly good for vacuum sealing, and there are foods that are not. So some foods that are particularly good for vacuum sealing, basically any dry foods.
Yeah.
And so we do a ton of vacuum sealing of rice, beans, pasta, although you run into the prickly issue, which we'll get to in
yes.
a moment. You can vacuum seal meat if you're going to keep it in
the freezer,
right? Obviously, you wouldn't throw it in the yard uncooked or anything.
Or into a tub, into a black
right.
tub and put it in a shed. That would
be
wrong.
Of maggots in a
yeah.
while. You don't
yeah.
need that.
Yeah.
Oatmeal, which is obviously a dry food. You can do that in bulk or the packets. And so you have to plan the foods that you're going to vacuum seal. That's part of the planning process. You also have to plan whether you're going to buy these things in bulk, say a 50-pound bag of rice, or in smaller packets like at the dollar store where you can get a 2-pound currently. I'm sure things could change. The dollar store 2-pound bag of rice that's individually a 2-pound bag in plastic for how much does stuff cost at the dollar store?
Love
exactly.
It.
You need to plan this out in advance. We'll cut to the chase on this. We are not fans of getting the giant bulk pack, say the 50 pounds of rice, and then trying to vacuum seal it. Can you do it? Yes.
Have we done it?
Have
yes.
we done it? Yes, we have. When you're scooping it and you're putting it in bags, you're spilling it, and then like rodents are going to come around and all of that stuff, it's a pain. For a few cents more per pound, and I'm going to say it like I always say it, I don't know what it is about prepping and cutting costs, but something about prepping makes people go insane on trying to save literally pennies.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll sit there and they'll go, well, the rice in the 50-pound bag is going to cost me 7 cents a pound less, so I'm going to do that, and I'm going to spend an hour futzing around with a vacuum sealer and cleaning up rice to save like a handful of pennies. So the smaller the original packaging, the better. And so there's that.
Well,
so,
and I'm
yes.
going to add an exception to that, because one of the things
okay.
that people saw on my social media recently is that I had that 50-pound bag, thank you very much,
yes.
of dried milk that you bought. I am
great
not
point.
Going to open up a bag and just scoop scoops out of it and make milk for the next year, because having an open bag like that, I'm just asking for critters and other things. And then you ask, so what I did, I've done it in the past with such a large bag, and it does, it turns into a big, I look like a snowman after we were done because of the powder. It's a very fine powder. But in the past with bags like that, I have scooped that out into basically a 1-quart serving, so that if I take a vacuum sealed bag of this little serving, I can just dump it into a pitcher and make a quart of milk. I did it different this time, and that's what's cool, is that you can kind of, mm-hmm. you know, let's do this differently. I made it into what I call pantry size, like what I would buy in a grocery store. If I'm going to go buy like a box or a bag of powdered milk in the store, I want it to be in like this size. So, and that's what I wanted this powdered milk for, is for my pantry. So I did it in basically 2-gallon size. So each bag holds enough to do in a gallon, to do five. I'm not going to make 5 gallons of milk at a time, but I can put that in my kitchen cabinet or in my canister on my kitchen counter, and I can scoop out of that and make milk out of it. So if you want to do bulk sizes, yes, you can.
Sure.
Do it if you want.
But not to save 7 cents.
Yeah, don't do it to save 7 cents. Think about what your needs are and what you're trying to do there. What I don't want you to hear is, Glenn Tate said not to ever
yeah.
do. No.
Never buy 50 pounds of rice, huh?
No, we've bought 50 pounds of rice. But on the other hand, right now you can get 2 pounds of rice for a dollar.
Less
that it's
than
easy.
It mm-hmm. is in a 50-pound
exactly.
bag. Another reason, another exception to the rule, involves the 50-pound bag of powdered milk. Sometimes you can only get what you want, powdered milk, in 50-pound bags.
And powdered milk is like gold right now.
It is really expensive. So in our case, the only powdered milk we could find was in a 50-pound bag. Well, then obviously get the 50-pound bag. And so there are exceptions to all these rules. They're not really rules. They're more guidelines.
Well, and let me add this too. When you, and there's my verbal tick. Did you catch it?
I did.
The little 1-quart bags that I make, those are very barterable.
Yeah.
So when we do get into that clap situation where money is weird and all of that, and we start bartering instead of using cash, I will say, hey, I've got a quart of milk here in this little, vacuum sealed bag. I can start trading that away instead of huge quantities of things and overpaying for things. But we're getting in the woods a little bit.
We are. And that reminds me why people should vacuum seal. And we sort of skipped over that. My apologies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this
My
is a
apologies.
Good reason.
This is about being able to preserve food. Obviously, that's what we're talking about. There are other items. Occasionally, you can vacuum seal and you don't have to. Ammunition and other things, matches and things like that. But we're really talking about food. The reason you should vacuum seal, have a vacuum sealer, know how to vacuum seal, and actively vacuum seal, is that sometimes you'll run across food that you can acquire that you need to vacuum seal. Classic example, powdered milk is really, really hard to find. I happened to find a 50-pound bag of powdered milk. And what did we do? We were then able to capitalize on that and get the 50-pound bag of powdered milk, vacuum seal it, and then do all the stuff that you mentioned about the pantry and all that other stuff. So this is a way to have a capability, a capacity to preserve food that you might run into. Now, you can also... instead of just waiting to find something like powdered milk that you want, you can ongoingly, another word I just made up.
Nice.
Wasn't that good?
It was good.
Ongoingly, a packaged food. You can always go on Saturdays, you go and you get a bunch of rice at the dollar store, for example. You can do that kind of thing. This is about layering. We're always talking about layering when it comes to food preps. Have some food vacuum sealed. Because it's the kind of food that you want to vacuum seal, rice and beans, we'll just go with that example. The duration of the preservation is, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it is. You've got some 25-year food. You've got some food that only is going to last a little bit, you know, maybe pantry food that's going to last 6 months or a year, whatever, layering all kinds of different I was about to say expiration dates, but I don't believe in those. Different durations of preservation, different kinds of food, different ways of cooking food, different costs. All these are layered, and you have a little bit of all of them because when you put it all together, you've got a complete system.
So, and as we go into this, we're going to get a little bit more into this too. When we buy the 1 pound bags of beans or the 1 pound bag, 2 pound bags of rice, we vacuum seal them, but I want to make this clear right now. We still vacuum seal them, and I'm going to give you a reason why before we go into this, is because the bags that they come in are not, you think, for those people out there who are critical of vacuum sealing bags, they're 10 times more critical of the bags that things come in the store.
Yeah.
Because they're...
Like the dollar store. They don't spend a lot on packaging.
No. And you can tell because you'll always find one that's broken, right? Or one that's been punctured.
There's a wind and all of a sudden it breaks
right.
the bag.
So
no, I'm kidding.
I'm going to save you some time. Does that mean we go home... empty that bag into it. No, we don't. We don't. What we do, no. I want to let people know this. You can add an extra. This is what extends the life of that bag of rice from the Dollar Tree. We take it home. We put it, that bag, into a food saving bag and we clip it open.
The original container the air can come out.
Yeah. So, and then we vacuum seal the whole thing. So all the air comes out and there's an extra layer of protection. You have the original packaging and then you have the food saver bag. And that right there is a great way to preserve. And because I'll tell you this, if you put a bag of rice into a whatever, into a pantry, into the critters will find it.
We've had this happen. We live out in the woods where
there's
a million animals everywhere.
A couple years ago, we bought a 50-pound bag of gluten-free pizza crust mix for
Glenn.
Hard to
come by and not cheap.
Not cheap. Within a day or two, the critters had gotten into it, and I was ready to just cry and curl up in a fetal position. I was so mad because that whole bag was, oh my gosh. So yes, that's the larger version, but this is a really great way to preserve and to protect even the small servings. So I want people to know that we vacuum. So as a result, one, we vacuum seal everything that we want to put into long-term preps. And we have, I think, 4 vacuum sealers that are various ages.
And I'm glad you brought that up because this doesn't mean you need 4 vacuum sealers. It means that we've acquired them and some have been gifts and a bunch of other things.
So but we use them a lot.
I
want people to know we use them a lot because we want to preserve this stuff. Yeah.
So that's why you should vacuum seal. And a lot of people listening, as I think I mentioned, never have. And they're like, well, why do I even need to do this? Well, that's why. Mm-hmm. Trust me, you're going to be glad you did. Now, another reason to answer the why question, why should I vacuum seal? Because it's easy and it's inexpensive. A vacuum sealer, and we're going to go with what we know, which is the Food Saver. They're at Costco's. I guess they're probably at Sam's Clubs. So we don't have a Sam's around mm-hmm. here, but they're like in those kinds of places. They're in Walmart. They're all over the place. $100-ish, something like that. There are food savers that have bells and whistles. And quite honestly, I don't know that they're any better. In fact, they're a little more complicated, and it's been our experience.
Yeah, a friend of ours has a complicated one, and we still can't figure it out.
Yeah, and so, and we just have one that I've had for 10 years. By the way, I have, my verbal tick is by the way, I had one for 9 or 10 years that finally died, and it was used all the time. So these things last forever. I mean,
take care of them, but yes.
If we're still in a collapse 10 years from now, then we have really big problems. So, and it's about $100 or so a box of bags, and there are a lot of bags in there, also available at Costco, Food Saver bags. I don't even know if there's like knockoff brand bags, but I don't know why in the world you would try to save a buck. And then all of a sudden, 5 years from now, find out that none of the bags worked and all of your food is gone. So I can't imagine that's a good idea. So I don't know if there's knockoffs, but you shouldn't even try. So a box of Food Saver bags, and they're various sizes, which we'll get into in a little while. It's about, I've seen them as low as $15. Yeah. Now they're like 30 because why? More people are buying Food Savers.
Right. And you can buy the sampler of bags at Costco in the $30 range. They go on sale often. Here's the thing that is good news, and you're going to go into the next point on this. You can still buy them at Costco.
Yeah. That's the other thing. These are available now. And so get them. Like everything else, all we have to do is say two letters, TP. Everyone knows what we're talking about. Don't have this happen to you, right? Go and get them now. You'll use more than you think. Trust me, you will. We use a lot of Food Saver bags. They're great to have. They are barterable. There is no downside. Get quite a few of them. I think if you bought a Food Saver, get 2-3 boxes of bags, and it's a $200 thing, and you'll probably, you know, be set for life. You don't have teams coming over to your house and food saving like for 8 hours in a row, so you don't go through the number of bags.
I made them bring their own bags this time.
Yeah, you did.
So here's one of the big debates that comes up, and it drives me a little crazy. Mm-hmm. When I put something out on social media regarding using a food saver, I then get you should use Mylar bags with oxygen absorbers and do long term. When you are talking about Mylar bags in a bucket, blah, blah, you're talking about 20 to 25 years. Mm-hmm. You're going for a really long term. And keep in mind, we do that. We have
layering.
We believe in that too. Two things right now. Mylar bags are near impossible to find. If you do find them, it's like ammo. You're going to pay a lot of money for them. It's very difficult to find the oxygen absorbers because Mylar bags don't seal up, and you can't use a machine to seal up and get the air out. So you have to put an oxygen absorber in. Go ahead.
And that's true. There are two kinds of Mylar bags, just so you know, and we're not going to dwell on Mylar bags, but there are two kinds. One is what Shelby's talking about, which are just bags, mm-hmm. and you seal them.
And they're silver.
And they're silver and metallic and stuff. There are also vacuum sealable Mylar bags. They're Mylar bags that have the little channels that the clear plastic Food Saver bags do, and you can suck the air out of of whatever's in the Mylar bag, and it's a Mylar bag. We have a bunch of those for our food freeze dryer, our harvest rights.
The stuff that we freeze dry, we use those.
The stuff we freeze dry, because guess what? It's 20 to 25 years, and so we want the Mylar bags. They're slightly better than the plastic bags,
but don't get excited. You know why? You can't find those anywhere right now. We accidentally bought two batches of it a couple of years ago, and you're like, man, so glad we did.
Yeah.
But so Mylar bags serve a purpose. They serve a long-term storage purpose. I'm not looking for everything to be stored for 25 years. I'm okay with those things that are 5 to 8 years. So Mylar bags, one, you can do them. That's fine. Hard to get a hold of, expensive to get a hold of. Need to get the buckets, need to get the oxygen absorbers, need to get the sealer for it's a little bit more of a system. And where I'm like, okay, if I'm trying to help a 1.0er, prepping 1.0er get to 2.0, $200 at Costco and you're good. You're good. You're ready. You have everything you need to be set up. You really do. And you're preserving food for 5 to 8 years. You know what? That's a good. And the other thing, the versatility with food savers.
Yeah.
I can't put a frozen fruit into a Mylar bag. I can't put ammo into a Mylar bag. I can't. I think it's much more practical for the average family to use a food saver bag. Does that mean that's all we use? No. We use them both. But right now, I think in the current conditions that we're in, don't drive yourself crazy trying to find Mylar bags. They're hard, and you're going to spend a lot of money. I think it's money better spent on a food saver. What are your thoughts?
Well, yes, I totally agree. Not only is it expensive now to get the Mylar bags, and I'm talking about the Mylar vacuum bags. Mm-hmm. You might even be talking about the Mylar bags that don't have a vacuum feature to them. But one of the problems with prepping is with busy people who have other things going on, if something can't be done relatively quickly and easily, and I'm not being critical because I suffer from this myself.
Oh, honey.
Yeah, if it takes me 3 or 4 attempts to get Mylar bags, by the second attempt, I've given up and I'm on to the next crisis. I'm buying the last Baofeng radios I can find, okay? So getting it done is way more important than...
We're not going for perfection here,
all
folks.
All the internet stuff about somebody will get on a forum and they'll say, well, Mylar bags are 0.3% better at retaining air. And you're like, oh, geez, that's what I better do. No, you got to get it done. We're at that phase. And it's so funny you mention, you know, this isn't a year ago. If we were doing this show a year ago, we would have said, hey...
Get
Mylar
both.
Bags.
Yeah,
get both.
Get a little bit of both
do
and
this,
have some
do that.
Choices. Yeah.
We're not there. And
it's kind
we
of
just
like,
have to accept that.
Yeah, you can't get 9mm right now either. So it's kind of in that realm. So I'm going to go on to the next one really because I want to, for those, that's the other thing I've realized with some of the posts I've done. People are asking, how do you do that? What do you do? You know, there's this, I'm going to go through a real quick getting started. When go out, here you do. Here's what you should do.
Here you do.
We
make up phrases, not just words. Here
oh
you
my
do.
Gosh.
That's not a regionalism accepted.
I get going so fast because I see what the clock
you're
says.
You're jacked up on Minuteman Coffee.
I am. I miss America.
Thank
blend. You, folks over there. Go out there and buy 5 bags of beans. Just 5 little 1-pound bags of beans from the grocery store. This is your learning curve.
Training wheels,
folks. Clear off your countertop or your table. Wipe it off with a cleaner. Wash your hands. And get ready if you've bought something. Like if you bought the 50-pound bag of pinto beans from Costco, get ready to sweep up when you're done. Pick out the bags you want to do. You can use the pre-done bags that come in your little sampler box.
And by pre-done, you mean that one end is sealed already. And they're like a quart-sized bag, which is relatively small. Keep going.
And so... And kind of line up, take your bag of beans, and line it up next to, if you need to make your bag, and give yourself another 1 or 2 to have sealing room on it.
And go there ahead. Are little white lines on the food saver bags every, whatever, 3 inches, I don't know what it is. And what you can do is, when you set your bag of beans down, you can look at it, and let's say it occupies, making this up, 3 lines, 3.5 lines.
Go for 4.5, Ben.
Yeah, go cut for it. 4.5. Cut it at 4.5. And here's the thing. Much like the 7 cents for the 50 pounds of rice, don't cheap out on these bags. Because if you cut these things too short, because you're saving a fraction of a cent on not using as many bags, you're not going to be able to seal it. We're going to detail that in a moment and explain why. And then you're going to have this bag that you can't use immediately. So
and you're going to be mad at yourself. And we're trying to make this
we're trying to make this nice.
Easy.
So yeah, so give yourself... I think, you know, 1 space on the white lines, so I'm say 2-3 inches, whatever mm-hmm. it is.
Give yourself some
extra. And also understand this, when you take something that's relatively tubular, for lack of a better term, like a 1-pound bag of beans, they're not going to be very wide in there. They're going to flatten out a bit, and so you don't need to use as much bag. If you have something that's, I'm making this up, like a coffee can. If you were, that'd be dumb. But if you were going to vacuum seal a coffee can, it's really high and it's going to take a lot more space. You'll see mm-hmm. this when you start experimenting with it. And so keep that in mind, and you'll just start learning and you'll figure it out.
And just be generous, though, with the bags.
I know, for example, that a 27-gallon Costco tub is 9 bag lines long. And so you can do something, I don't know, we did a bunch of cereal, and we just filled up 27-gallon tubs. They were 9 lengths, and then we did a 10th link because of the space you need for what we'll talk about, you know, probably in the after show. It always happens. Yeah, it's going to be in the after show.
Oh, we'll get it all into one show, Shelby. It'll work.
We have a cool outline. It'll totally work.
So, for all you folks out there, like, but what about oxygen absorbers? And that goes back. This is a cousin to the Mylar debate. You're sucking all the oxygen out. You don't necessarily need them in a vacuum seal bag, which, again, saves you money. But they're optional. If you want to put it in there, you can. Don't sweat the little stuff on this.
Don't freak out because someone on an internet forum said you have to have oxygen absorbers. Quick thing on oxygen absorbers, and then this will probably be the end of the regular
show. We're going to go right into the,
quick thing about that is you need to keep them away from the air when you're vacuum sealing. What I do is I put them in a Ziploc bag. I squish out all the air. I take one out with a corner of my fingers because I'm trying not to get germs in there. Throw it in whatever I'm doing, and I seal the Ziploc bag back up.
Because they absorb oxygen quickly.
And then they're no good, and then they've absorbed all the oxygen they need to do. So oxygen absorbers, great, optional. Don't wait until they become available because they're hard to find now. Start getting it done.
And remember, as our favorite founding father said, failure to prepare is preparing to fail. Have a great week, everyone.
You've been listening to Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher. All the information you've heard today, including all our previous shows, is online at prepping2-0.com. Find out more about Glenn's books at 299days.com and Shelby's books at agreatstate.com. Until next time, be smart, be safe, and be prepared.